When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signal, takes the snap, looks left, pops it left, first wide open, touchdown Giants! And a left corner of the end zone!
Touchdown!
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Which one was me and which one was the song? Do you know? Can you tell? All right, let's talk a little Mets. We've done 2 hours on the Jets, and rightfully so. They deserve it. Aaron Rodgers deserves it. You Jet fans deserved it. But if you were leaving the building, if you're not home yet, God bless you. So we're going to transition a little bit into the Mets, who are on fire! Unbelievable what the Mets are doing right now is they pounded Philadelphia 10-6. And after wanting you in the building, needing you there, challenging you, you answered the call. 35,982 of you were in the building to see the Mets pound the Philadelphia Phillies and hold their lead and just this offense. I mean, three straight games of 10 runs. The pitching staff continues to do what it does. I know they gave up six runs in this game, the last three. I mean, Severino gave up three runs. But when you have the lead like that, and this offense continues to hit home runs. And to me, the guy to talk about is Brandon Nimmo. Like, for me, this was Nimmo's night. Because I do think it's more than just, you know, he challenged the fans. Like, again, it's, we know what's going on in the world. It's expensive to go to these games. You got to pick what night you want to go, or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of them. But Nimmo called out the fans for not coming to the ballpark. You can look at it as, hey, he just wanted people there. If the house was crowded to his liking, he wouldn't have said that. He challenged the fans. He's challenged the GM. He challenged the fans. And he showed up, and to me, he had the biggest hit of the game. Like, there is no doubt. You saw, like, it's important to jump out to the lead. Right? And you got the Vientos home run. You got the Alonso opposite field home run. It's important for Alonso to get going. They jump out to the two-run lead. Taijuan Walker had absolutely nothing in this game. So it's good to jump out to a lead. But what happened was when Philadelphia ties the game in the third on the Turner home run, when they tie the game, now that's when it's like, because you're riding high on the emotions of what happened the night before, what's happened in that last couple nights, right? And the way they played, this is a big game. You get the two home runs, you have all the momentum going, you're feeling good, and then suddenly, boom, now you're even again. To not let that last a half an inning, to bounce right back in the bottom of the third with that two-run home run and reestablish the two-run lead, to me, that's the biggest hit of the game. That's the biggest hit. You know, the Alvarez home run, then Nimmo doubled again, and Iglesias, who continues to just get on base, who scored on the Nimmo home run and the Nimmo double. You know, Vientos with a couple home runs, a couple hits in the home run, and Acuna with the triple late in the game, Alvarez with another homer and, you know, a bomb of a home run, 420 feet, and what he's doing. All those are important, and you want to win by a bunch, and the offense wakening up is a huge part of the last 3 days and certainly this game. But for me, it's the Nimmo home run on the night he challenged the fans. And we talk about, you know, taking on the fan base and everything, and this fan base has been wrapped up in this team. Don't get me wrong. You know, the fan base loves this team, and the fan base has had fun with this team and believes in this team, but hadn't been going to the ballpark, at least to the liking of Brandon Nimmo. And he called out the fans, and he responded, and that's what's amazing about this group. Because, yeah, they're playing great baseball, and, yeah, they're pitching their ass off, and even Diaz looked, you know, good in this game. Good combination. He's been much better of slider and fastball. But their resiliency, and when they put themselves in a spot, like Lindor calls the team meeting, he put himself in a spot. He's having a miserable start to the year, and he's calling a team meeting because a reliever threw his glove in the stands or whatever. He put himself out in front as the leader of this team, and if he felt on his face,
That would have been a damning issue for him. And instead, he got moved to the leadoff spot and just went off. And, you know, every time it felt like, every time we talk, like every time they have a terrible loss, they bounce right back. And every time, even in game, as we saw like this Nimmo home run, they would fall behind, they'd bounce right back. But for Nimmo to challenge the fans like that, for Nimmo to say, hey, show up, we're doing something special here. Hey, we need you. Hey, we need you. And for him to answer with that two home run that reestablishes the two run lead, that's the biggest hit of the game. That's the biggest moment of the game for me. And that's what really shines with this team, the resiliency. And sometimes you say that about teams who don't have other tangible things, but they do. Like this pitching staff has been remarkable, this offense, and now Acuna stepping in and doing what he's been doing in the absence of Lindor, the team leader and MVP. I mean, you can't make it up. Every single thing has gone right for the Mets this year, like almost exclusively. I know J.D. Martinez now is in a bit of a slump, and Alonso hasn't had the season most Met fans would have expected or wanted, and certainly the type of season Alonso would expect or want heading into free agency. But I mean, like, besides that, what hasn't been answered in the affirmative for this team? Like, every single one-year deal pitcher that they added to, probably in the mindset of trading at the deadline, hoping to get something out of them and move on from them at the deadline. I mean, Minaya, Severino, Peterson reestablishing his Met career, McGill, Quintana, who's the first, I just saw a stat where he's like the first pitcher in 60 years to have an ERA under 0.3 for a four-start stretch. I mean, it's crazy what's going on out in Queens. It's crazy. It's crazy. They're hitting home runs. They're pitching. And right now, it looks like they're a force inside this National League, a force that nobody else wants to play. Nobody wants to play. I can tell you right now, every team in the National League that's going to make the playoffs is rooting for Atlanta. You do not want to see the Mets right now. I mean, Lindor has established himself. I mean, you got guys like Taylor and Iglesias coming out of nowhere, having these unbelievable seasons. You bring up a prospect to give you a little bit of a spark while Lindor's gone. He can't get him out. Right, it's just crazy what's going on with the Mets right now. They are playing some excellent baseball. And they are riding on emotion. They are riding on their manager. They're riding on this gritty toughness they've established. And right now, the offense and the pitching have aligned, and it led to an ass-kicking in Philadelphia. Now, it's got to continue. Let me check the pitching matchup for tomorrow. Tomorrow on Apple TV, of course, it's going to be Peterson versus Christopher Sanchez. Peterson, you know, 9-2 with a 2.85 ERA. Pitching to continue this hot ride for the Mets. And if the offense continues to score 10, it doesn't matter who's pitching. But I thought that Nimmo home run was a game changer. That's the home run of the game for me. That's the, because you jump out, it's important, right? You tack on late, it's important. But when you give the lead back, when now you feel like you're in a dogfight, you get that early lead, let's see if we could ride the momentum, and then they come back and tie the game up with a home run. It's like, oh, man, they squandered an opportunity. And then he immediately gives you you don't have to worry about it. It doesn't last an inning before the momentum is back in the Mets' favor. That's a huge home run. That is a huge, huge home run. And right now the Mets are doing everything right. And they are two games up from on Atlanta still with nine to play. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, I know we had a caller earlier who just kept saying, you know, nine games is an eternity. Anything can happen, sure, but nine games is not an eternity. Not when you play 162. Nine is a rather insignificant number. And right now, they are tied with Arizona in the standings, two games ahead of Atlanta. They have the tiebreaker over Arizona, so technically, right now, they sit in the two spot, in the second wild card,
which they would be taking on San Diego in San Diego for three games in the wild card series if it ended right now. But they're two games up on Atlanta with nine to play. And that series is going to be huge, no doubt. But, I mean, when you start doing these numbers, and I was doing it with the Yankees before, like with nine to play, if they win three games, that's 88. That's 88 wins if they go 3-6. Say they go 4-5 because they're not as biggest. If they go 4-5, that's 89 wins. 89. Atlanta, who's struggling, would have to go 6-3. And that's going under 500. If the Mets go 5-4, that's 90. And Atlanta has to go 7-2. Like, I know you can't get swept by Atlanta, but right now the Mets are in an excellent position. Excellent position. I think right now not only are they a playoff team, I think they're the most dangerous team in the National League. If they get in, there is, and you're seeing it a little bit in the American League. The Tigers have been the best team in the second half in the American League, and you know, Skubal in a short series and the pitching that they've shown, but I don't believe in their lineup nearly as much as I believe in the Mets right now. So as much as you know, teams like the Yankees and other American League teams are probably a little nervous about what the Tigers have done for the last second half, I don't think they'd be as dangerous in the American League playoffs as I would view the Mets. The Mets are a dangerous freaking team. You might get Kodai Senga back. You're probably, hopefully, going to get Lindor back for the playoffs. Right now, the lineup's killing it. You've got a top-to-bottom lineup that gives you, and if Alvarez has found himself, if Alonso has found himself, if Vientos has gotten hot again, like, I mean, this lineup is devastatingly good top-to-bottom. Like, the depth, and Nimmo, and if Nimmo's found himself, like, top-to-bottom, this is a dangerous lineup. Plus, you've got a pitching staff that is absolutely killing it right now. Who is more dangerous than the Mets if they find their way into a postseason series? Now, anything can happen in a short three-game series, and most likely it's going to be on the road because I don't think they're going to overtake that top wild card. But, man, if I don't feel freaking excellent about the Mets right now, how could you not? They're going to do this thing. We're going to have two teams in the playoffs. Pennant race baseball is fun. And another great night out in Citi Field. And then you get to the Yankees real quick since we're doing baseball here. The Yankees lose the last game of a series. They do take the series from Seattle. But a couple things happened in this game, obviously, that are scary. And obviously the injury to Soto or watching him roll around on the ground was just... I'm going to get to that in a minute because I have a story around it. But you got Dominguez dropping balls in the outfield. Clark Schmidt pitched relatively well, but... I mean, there's a conversation to be had about Dominguez and Verdugo, and I had it a few days ago. I mean, they put a story out, too, the social media for the Fan put it out, like, about Yankee fans. We would be hypocrites. You have to look yourself in the mirror, Yankee fans, and be honest with yourself. Because what has Jason Dominguez done besides that home run the other night to warrant playing over Verdugo right now? Speed? Okay. He could steal the base, create havoc on the base path, sure. But offensively, besides that one home run... Hasn't really, I mean, he got a couple hits in this game, but you can't be dropping. He overran, he had a miserable defensive series. He overran the ball in the outfield in the game the other day. And then yesterday just, I mean, he cost the Yankees two runs. You can make a very good case. The Yankees win that game and sweep with the score of 2-1 if he doesn't drop that ball. I mean, just a terrible play. And then you get Cousins' injury, which the one thing about the Cousins' injury, and I know this is the Yankee shill part of me, the one thing about the Cousins' injury that we found out is at least, I still hate the move, but at least it provides some thought process into why Boone went back to Clay Holmes in the eighth inning the other night. Clearly something's up with Cousins, and he was dealing with this pectoral issue. If you didn't see the game, he came in, he walked a batter, I believe, and then he struck out Julio Rodriguez, and they took him out of the game. He's got tightness in his pectoral muscle. It's been bothering him for a few days. They were staying away from him the other night when they clinched, and at least that somewhat kind of explains why you would bring Clay Holmes back out for the eighth after he got the last out of the seventh. I still hate it. I would go to Weaver for two if I felt good about it, or I would bring in Hamilton or somebody. Like, Clay Holmes did his job. That should have been the end of it. But the spot screamed for Cousins. So the idea that at least they were staying away from Cousins helps me on some level understand what Aaron Boone was thinking. But that's an injury to this bullpen they can't afford. Like, he's a key cog. That slider against right-handed batters is a key cog in this bullpen. So hopefully he's okay. And then obviously the injury to Soto and the offense doing nothing. And another decision by Aaron Boone to give three straight days. Monday they were off. Tuesday, Wednesday, he does not play Giancarlo Stanton. And Stanton looked awful in this game. Giancarlo Stanton is the Yankees' best offensive player in the postseason for the last three postseasons running. He is a much needed and important piece of this offense if they are going to do anything in the postseason. And to not make sure he gets it going, to not give him as many at-bats as possible. I know you're having a pseudo tryout for left field, and you got to have Judge in the lineup. So you're trying to play Verdugo and Dominguez as much as you possibly can. But you need Stanton in that lineup every day to get him ready for the playoffs. Because I don't know who's the better choice, Dominguez or Verdugo. And frankly, you know, for this conversation, I don't even care. Because neither of them are nearly as important as a hot Giancarlo Stanton. None of them will provide the same kind of pop that a hot Giancarlo Stanton would provide. I'd rather see him get hot and just freaking play whoever in left field. Because you know what it's going to come down to. The pitching seems lined up. We're worrying about this Cousins injury, fine, but we'll find out about it. But the pitching seems lined up. The question is, are they going to hit in the clutch? The same question they have every single stinking year. 888-808-1019. So let's open up to baseball here as we get to the 2 o'clock hour. Still take your phone calls on the Jets. You want to talk about Giants too? It is Football Sunday. We'll get to the picks and around the league a little bit moving forward. But let's open it up to the baseball calls right now. Liam in Rockland County. What's up, Liam?
Hey, C-Mac. How are you, my friend?
Good, buddy. What's going on?
Well, you know, for starters, whoever calls you a Yankee shill, forget that.
I know. I'm leaning into it at this point.
A lot of love, as they deserve.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think. I think the Yankee shill isn't necessarily because I only talk Yankees, although there are some people out there who believe that. I really don't know how, but there are people out there.
I've been defending you for a few years. You know, ever since, you know, Carton Roberts, man, I've had your back.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But the Yankee shill conversation comes from my willingness to defend Aaron Boone and Cashman, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, they're doing their thing, but regardless, you've covered a lot of topics here. I was going to say, starting with the Jets, big Yankee fan. I'm not going to make it long, short and sweet. But the last time I was in Jet Life Stadium, other than tonight, and I really felt the place, you know, have an energy and feel, was in Mike White was starting that game against the Bills.
Right.
And he threw for like 250-plus yards. Then he got hurt in the place, you know, the air out of the building. Next thing you know, Blackwood comes in, throws the only touchdown pass of the game. And we're like, you know, outvoted 90-1 as far as everyone's a Bills fan. We're the only Jets fans. 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, you know, 2:08, right before the 2 minute warning. You remember the time.
No, I mean, yeah, if that's the last time you feel it, I mean, I don't think the expectations for Mike White. I know we thought for a minute maybe it's Mike White, maybe we found our guy.
I'm
just saying, like, this is
little hijinks.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I remember Evan feeling like Mike White had an opportunity to be the guy.
Well, Evan likes to hype it up. He's a fun, you know, he's a positive fella. But I'm saying the last time I felt Jet Life that exuberated for a Jets game that we actually won was back then. Other than, you know, last year when Rodgers went down, but regardless, right. Yankee baseball talk.
Okay.
Dominguez cannot handle the outfield right now. It's a strange situation between him and Evan Verdugo out there. We've got a lot of issues defensively, which are going to pop up come October. They just are. You know, between Glaber, you know, Chisholm playing third is great. You know, he's got the swag and everything, but he doesn't. You know, he's not going to be that consistent, you know, bullet there.
I don't know.
DJ's not making the roster, man. Like,
no.
How many DJs on this 40 man? He's not.
No, DJ's not making postseason roster. No, he's the third baseman. Jazz Chisholm's the third baseman. And I don't know if he's going to make an error. I don't know. Like, he's played very well. He's capable of making great plays. Like, I think we just assume it's going to happen. I don't know. And same thing with Gleyber. Like, if you watch Gleyber over the last week, I think Gleyber in this series in particular against Seattle, I thought he played brilliant second base. Like,
and that, you know what, that play they overturned too at second, where there was that transfer with Oswaldo as well. Like,
yeah.
That was an aggressive,
like, the
move.
Only thing,
that was,
yeah,
beautiful turn to his left.
Yeah, it's aggressive. It was probably a mistake, but it was aggressive.
Nice.
The only, I mean, yeah, with two out, with one out in the lead, I probably would have just went to first. But I hear you. Made the play. And the only hiccup he had was he kind of bobbled what could have been a double play, but ended up getting the second base. Like, other than that, his range to his right up the middle has been great. Like, I think Gleyber Torres is a talented defender. The problem is he has mental, you know, he makes the easy mistakes. He makes the easy play. He makes errors on easy plays sometimes. He'll drop a pop-up. He'll make an easy play into an error. I mean, that happens every once in a while, but right now he's been great. I mean, no issues with Gleyber Torres. None. I have zero issues with Gleyber. Gleyber's my guy right now. And a lot of people want to ask, you know, because I've been on the record saying that I would not give Gleyber Torres another contract, and I still feel that way. I think it's best to part ways, especially when we need the Soto contract and everything. I'm going to get to that after the break. Considering how much money you're going to have to pay Juan Soto, some guys just have to go, and you're going to have to give, you know, and he just hasn't warranted it. He's been great right now.
And the next second baseman's on the roster.
Right, well, Chisholm?
Yeah.
Well, then they got to find a third baseman.
Right, but you traded for a guy with years of control, theoretically,
yeah,
to put at second
one
base.
One more year
after,
of control.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I think they have Durbin and some other guys in the minor leagues who are better at second base. I wouldn't be surprised if Chisholm's the third baseman moving forward. But you're right, that's definitely possible. I thought that initially. Now it looks like he's taken to the position, and there are some guys in the minor leagues who could play second base. But yeah, possible. But there's an interesting case to be made there, and I love Gleyber right now, and I expect him to play well the rest of the way, and I'm looking forward to him possibly hitting in the postseason. And if he kills it in the postseason and carries them to a championship or something crazy, like, then I reserve the right to change my mind. But right now, I still think it would be best to just let Gleyber go. That doesn't mean I don't think he's important. I didn't want him. I took a million calls. Trade him for this. I don't care. Trade him for a bag of balls. It's addition by subtraction. Get rid of him. And I was saying, no. We need this team, as presently constituted, wasn't good enough to just jettison Gleyber Torres. I feel the same way about Clay Holmes. I still do. Now they got the thing with pectoral muscle. Yes, you can't use him in the same situations or use him the same, but I don't think they can just banish Clay. I think they're going to need him. And I don't think they can banish Gleyber. And now, certainly, he's shown reason that was the right move. And I think he could be great moving forward. I expect him to be. That doesn't change the fact that I think they're best just moving on, because he's too inconsistent. And next year might be the complete opposite. Next year might have a great first half and then be miserable for the second half and be terrible in the playoffs. I have no idea. He's too inconsistent for me. And he's going to make money because what he's done last year and now this second half, someone's going to pay him money. He's young. And they need money for Juan Soto as long as he's healthy. And I'm going to get to that next. Tell you the story about how I'm not sure, because as soon as I got home, I ran out to come here. I'm not sure if I'm sleeping on the couch for a day or two after the Juan Soto injury. So we'll get to that and what it means for the Yankees. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, let's talk about Juan Soto for a second. So, yesterday, I had something to do. I was at my son's school, both of my sons' elementary school, two separate. I had to do the same thing twice. It was mind-numbing. So, it was open school night. Back to school night for the parents. So, we went there. Now, I have a son in kindergarten in the school, and I have a son in second grade. So I go there, 6 o'clock is the kindergarten, and then 7 o'clock is the second grade. And it's the same thing twice. So at 6 o'clock, I went into the gymnasium, whatever. The principal talks, tells us everything about the school. The head of the PTA talks, and you have like a half-hour presentation about the school and its policies and this and that and the email you'll get, and then blah, blah, blah. It's a half-hour presentation. I had to sit through it twice, once at 6 and then once at 7. And then after the presentation, they send you to your kid's classroom, and the teachers give another presentation about what the day is like for the kids, the we do this, then we do this, then we do that, and we think it's important because of this, and we go through pretty much what they're going to do all year, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so that, while it's very similar, at least that was different. It's two separate classrooms and two separate teachers and two separate things. But anyway, the point of the story is, I'm a Yankee fan and I'm a nutso Yankee fan. And plus, I do this for a living. So I am trying to watch the Yankee game on my phone during my son's, my younger guy, the kindergarten presentation. So I'm watching the Yankee game on my phone. I'm trying to sneak it. And the entire time, my wife is not happy. Like, she sees me on the phone, and to be fair, there's nobody else. There's no other dad. There's nobody else watching the phone. And I'm not watching it, just sitting there watching it. It's on, there's no volume, and I'm peeking every once in a while. So, just to keep an eye on the score. Because I'm crazy. So, we're sitting there in my son's kindergarten class. And I'm listening to the teacher, and now she's the same kindergarten teacher that my older son had. It's the same thing. So I've done this before, and I know, like, she went through a presentation of, like, what the day is while there is an enormous poster on the wall of what the day is. Like, she's like, and then we do this, and then we do that, and I'm like, yes, I can see it on the big poster right there. So I'm aware of what's going on. Anyway, so we're sitting there. And all of a sudden, like, I looked at the phone for a little bit, and my wife gave me the look like, enough. It was one thing with the principal talking in the big auditorium with everybody. Now there's like 11 of us in this room, and you're the only one on your phone. I'm like, okay. So I put my phone away. All of a sudden, I feel my phone start to vibrate. It's a buddy of mine, as my phone just vibrated right now, Fliegelman giving me his picks. My phone starts to vibrate in my pocket. And I look at it, and it's a Yankee friend of mine, and he goes, Soto, oh no. That's the text message I got. Soto, oh no. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So even though my wife has already given me the look of, don't do that again, I have to go to it. And I turn on the phone. And turn on the game, and I'm looking at it, and there, Soto's on the ground, and Boone and Judge, and the training staff are all surrounding him, and it's right up against the wall in right field, and I literally stood up. We were all sitting at the, like, our kids' desk. They come in. They have chairs for you sitting at your kids' desk, and I like stood up in a panic. And everybody turned their head to me. Like, I was watching, I said, like, I had to get up out of my chair because my Yankee season might be over. And make no mistake, I guess they could over, anything is possible. But if Juan Soto is having any sort of devastating injury, or doesn't play in the play. Can you imagine having the 1 year of Juan Soto, worried about this for all, got to win, who knows what happens next year, the Mets are going to steal him, blah, 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 blah. Literally, you know, 2 days ago, he's talking about free agency, scaring everybody. If you had this year where he has 40 home runs, unbelievable season, him and Judge of the team, blah, and then you don't get to see it in the playoffs? Like, the entire Yankee season, my Martinelli's, like, everything, the celebration I had the other night, it all flashed before my eyes, and I literally just, like, stood up in a panic, holding my phone, and everybody turned their head to me for a second, and I had to, like, play it off like I adjusted my pants and shirt and sat back down, and my wife looked at me, and she just, like, and I said, Soto's down. And she gave me like the biggest, you've got to be effing kidding me look I've ever gotten in my life. And I literally, I was like, you're lucky I don't walk out. I can't handle that right now. It was like the worst timing ever. I cannot, in that moment, I nearly had a panic attack. And then I didn't see anything. She made me put the phone away and I was like, maybe it's better. I just put it away and I didn't see him get up. I didn't know if he was coming out of the game. I knew nothing. I saw him on the floor. I saw one replay of him sliding into the outfield. Then I turned my phone off, and in about, I don't know, 15 minutes later when the thing was over and I got to look at my phone and I saw that he stayed in the game. It's one of those moments I'll never forget. Because, honestly, I still think, we talked and we're fine. Like, she didn't hate me, but like I still think my wife is pretty mad at me. Because, like, I stood up and, like, gasped. Like, I couldn't take it. I thought I was going to have to leave the room. I did. I thought I was going to have to leave. She was not happy with me. And I'm pretty sure she still isn't. But, and then when I said to her, Soto's down, she just... But thankfully, I can laugh about it. Hopefully, they're going to have an MRI, I guess, tomorrow. I don't care who, you cannot play him. He gets a day off. That's it. He gets a day off. But hopefully he's okay because there's no mistaking it. There's no hiding it. There's no escaping it. There's no running from it. Like, the chances of winning a World Series dramatically take a hit. I'm not saying anything you don't know. I mean, they can't function without Soto. That's just either Judge or Soto. They can't. Even Cole. I would be devastated if they lost Cole. I could still make a case of them winning the World Series if Cole can't pitch.
They survived it the whole first.
Survived it the first half. Now it's different in the postseason, but right now with the way Clark Schmidt's throwing, the way Rodon is throwing, the way Nestor's throwing, the way Luis Gil is throwing, none of them are Cole. And I wouldn't have as much confidence. I know we're all down on Cole right now, but still, he's Gerrit Cole. I would still have more confidence in Cole. But those four guys, I can with the amount of guys at the back end of the bullpen that I feel good about right now, I can muster a pitching staff. You can't make it through without Soto. This can't. 888-808-1019. Ray and Edison, what's up, Ray?
I did the same thing today. I'm a restaurant manager, and we have TVs everywhere. Yeah. And we're in a meeting. There's 10 of us. And I saw the play, and I jumped up and said, no, 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 this can't be happening.
Yeah.
And then I just had to get this on the radio with you, and I'm laughing so hard. I'm like, I did this same thing. Yeah. I'm a grown man. I'm 48 years old.
Yep,
professional business. And I just went, no, can't be happening.
Yep. No, thankfully,
and I was like, wait, what are you doing? I would go, he's got hurt.
Yeah.
He's got hurt.
I know. Thankfully, I didn't say anything. I just did like a quick, like just something in it. I couldn't stay seated. Like I just did a quick, pop-up. And because it happened so fast out of nowhere, like everybody looked at me for a second and I just kind of like tugged on my sweatshirt and sat back down. And my wife knew, and I had my phone in my hand. My wife knew exactly what the issue was. And she looked at me and I just said, Soto's down. And she just,
Same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. You can't have Soto. Like anybody else, I might not have popped up. Soto or Judge go down, I couldn't sit there. I couldn't. I had like something inside me.
Ten,
was just an inner reaction.
10 reps in front of me. Yeah. 10 reps. And I went, oh no. And I'm listening to you talk. And I'm like, by the way, I have kids too. Yeah. The whole grammar school, the whole meetings, and the, oh yeah. My God. Doing that whole thing. I get it. But I literally was laughing so hard that I popped up at my meeting. Yeah. In front of 10 reps, and I said, Soto's down. He's down. All right, good talk. Hope you're doing well. Yeah, go Yankees.
You got it. Go Yankees. Yeah, no, that was a rough moment for me. It was like I'm in a situation I can't get out of, and plus, you know, of course I want to be part of my son's school. Last year I did this by myself. My wife had the same thing. She's a teacher. So last year it was only for the one son because – my son was in a different school for pre-K, so it was just the one time I had to do it for the one class. But last year, I did this alone. Like, I've been there for all these school things, and I want to be there for them. It's not like I don't want to be there, but you got an enormous Met game against the Phillies. You got the Jets on Thursday Night Football. It wasn't the greatest night to, like, be there. Plus, I'm watching the Yankee game, and this was early on in the night. I was there until, like, 7:45, 8 o'clock with then my older son's class and everything. So, like, I wasn't thrilled it was tonight. Not that I wasn't thrilled I was there. I wasn't thrilled that it happened to be a busy night. And I had games that I needed to watch. So I was a little frustrated on there. I'm watching the Yankee game, and then Soto goes down, and I needed to, like, escape. I needed to, like, just run out of the door and just start running down the hallway. Like, it just hit me. That's how much I'm in this. Marco, last night, if you're listening to the show, Marco doesn't understand that I want to be a part of it. I am a part of it. I am in it. If Juan Soto going down affects my life, Juan Soto sliding into that wall determines whether I'm sleeping on the couch or in my bed with my wife. Like, that's how much the Yankees have a hold and a grip on my life. I talk about them. It's what I do. Plus, I have a inert reaction to the negatives and positives. They control my television. My wife's mad at me for that she doesn't get to watch anything. We were watching, like I said to her, you know, the other day. She's probably going to be mad I'm saying all this stuff. I said to her the other day, ooh, I heard that that they got that Sopranos. She loves the Sopranos, obviously. They have the Sopranos, you know, David Chase documentary on HBO. We should probably check that out. Yeah, when exactly? When should we check that out, Chris? Huh? Sunday? God forbid I walk in this room on Sunday. I'm like, I know. Okay, so I'll find the night. Yeah, okay, sure you will.
Saturday nights.
Yeah, we'll watch it. I know, that's it. Or when an episode ends and we go to bed, she's like, can't wait for next Saturday when we get to watch this again.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's Saturday night, sorry.
Yeah, I know. She doesn't, she's not that cool with it, Rami. The idea that she gets to watch, and God, what if she's tired that Saturday? We're up early with the kids for soccer and baseball. Like, it's not ideal. Not ideal. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on? How you doing this morning?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm good. I want to talk Yankees with you.
Yeah, sure.
But I just want to say something about the Jets real quick.
Yes.
You know, I've only seen highlights because, you know, I'm coming from work now, and I'm eager to get home and check out the NFL network so I can watch the whole game. But If I got a little piece, like I like that deep dive you did on the interaction between what people were talking about on social media with Aaron and Salah, because part of that, like if there was even just a little bit of a nudge when they were talking about the overall game plan, and he says to Hackett and to Aaron, give me a 2-score lead and let me see what my defense can do. Like that time of possession thing, it's easy to be an attacking defense when you only got to play the opponent, you know, 20 minutes out of the game, and they don't have the chance to be patient to run their own game plan because they're trying to chase scores. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was a display, hopefully I'm going to see a display of what I was hoping to see when I said that about Salah. To get to my Yanks, though, all right, three things real, real quick. What you said about that Soto thing, oh, my God. You know when I got scared? Because I was listening – and I heard Waldman say, Judge looked at him and said, no, stay down.
Yeah.
And that's when my heart said, whoa. I was so happy when, you know, he looked at Aaron and the trainers and everything and said, no, I'm fine. Let me out. And you are perfectly right. Sit that boy tomorrow. I don't care what.
No,
Soto, you know, the thing is always the next morning when you wake up,
yeah,
you know, if there's any kind of swelling. Yeah. Like, just sit him.
They got a four-game lead. You know? They got a four-game lead in the division, and I'm not saying it's over. Four games can be made up in
nine.
No,
it's not. Not by any means.
But they got a four-game lead in this division. They're playing the Oakland A's. No need. No
Just sit him. Just sit him. And, you know, moving on again, too. What you were saying about Giancarlo, you know, I understood what was going on because I figured Boone looked at it as, you know, of all of the options that he had, Stanton was probably the easiest one to sit down for a minute and, you know, give him the time to get back up to speed. But at the very same time, I hope what happened over the last couple of days, and to your point, what you were saying about how he looked today, and I felt it too, I hope they keep him in the lineup moving forward for every night through. Like, this is time for, like, you know, all the games you're playing with between Verdugo and Dominguez,
right?
That's fine and all, but you can't let it touch Stanton for right now.
I totally agree, Val, and thank you for the call. And I think it's twofold why he did it. One, I do think he wants to see them both play because he's going to have to make a decision come postseason time because they both, I don't even know if it's, you know, I don't know. Dominguez really hurt himself here with the poor defensive play because part of it's got to be defense. And then even if you're on the roster, you might have to go in for defense or pinch hit and play defense. Like right now, it feels like Grisham might be the more bench type role player for a postseason roster than Dominguez if you're not going to make him the starting left fielder. So it's partially wanting to see both of them. It's also the idea that Giancarlo's been so used to not playing every day. Like this Judge giving him a day and putting Judge at DH has happened so much this year that it's almost like, well, you know, maybe it won't put him in a funk. He's used to not playing every day. But and then the other thing that doesn't make sense to me is Boone, you know, said, and I you know, just because he says it doesn't mean it has to be true. I don't get hung up on it. Like people get hung up on every word he says. He says what he says because he thinks that's what's the best thing to say. It doesn't always have to be the truth. And I understand that managers and organizations aren't going to tell us the truth all the time. But he said it's because of matchup reasons. So he didn't play Giancarlo the first two games of the series because of matchup reasons against tough right-handed pitching. Gilbert's the best of the bunch. Like, he's extremely difficult on right-handed pitching. Plus, it's also daytime when you have to worry about the sun, you have to worry about the shadows late in the game. Like, I don't know. The idea that that was for matchup purposes because they faced tough right-handed pitching the first two games, Logan is probably their best pitcher and the toughest on right-handed pitching, so right-handed hitters. So, I don't know. But all I know is this. A hot Dominguez is great. We saw it for a couple of days at the end of last year. A hot Dominguez sounds really good. A hot Verdugo has its limits, but probably putting the ball in play, going the other way, getting on base, tough at bats. That sounds great. A hot Giancarlo Stanton changes the freaking ball game. Like, that's the difference. A hot Giancarlo Stanton carries the team. A hot Giancarlo Stanton, at least in my mind, provides the only way to overcome an injured Soto. That's how good a hot Giancarlo Stanton is. It's a middle-of-the-lineup impact bat who is a game wrecker. I don't know if a hot Dominguez does that. I don't know and don't think a hot Verdugo does that. A hot Stanton changes the freaking game. Why are we not focused on getting a hot Giancarlo Stanton? That's all I would play him all of these nine games and give him as many at-bats as possible because I need him, unless you're thinking about not playing him against right-handed pitching, which I can't imagine. Unless he looks awful, you play him all nine games and he's flailing at everything, okay. I guess I'm open to it. But 9 days out, I can't imagine not playing him in the postseason. Chris and Baldwin, what's up, Chris?
Hey, Mac, what's up, baby?
What's up, brother? How we doing?
Doing good, man. I really love listening to your show when I can. I think you're going to do big things on this station.
Well, thank you very much.
You're great at what you do.
Thank you.
And I definitely recommend to watch The Wise Guys with your wife. That's a Panos documentary. Whenever you get around to it.
Was it good?
It was great. It was really, if you're a Sopranos fan, it was tremendous, man. Very good. They actually revealed the ending of the show at the end.
Oh, I think I've heard...
I've heard him say something before. I don't want to say it. Don't jinx it.
I made that. I actually made that up. I made that up. He doesn't, but he doesn't.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because I've heard him. I've heard him give an answer on it, and it's kind of a non-answer. So I was one. But go ahead.
It's a little bit more of the same, but yeah, I just definitely want to show both my teams some love, man. I'm a Mets fan. You know, they're almost 30 games over 500. I just saw on Twitter. I saw a stat since May 30th. They were 63 and 35, which is incredible. Yeah. I mean, it's really a crazy run, and they have to finish it off. It's not going to be easy to stay that hot, but the hitting's starting to come around a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, and the starting pitching has gone 6 to 7 innings, it seems like, almost every time out. So it's been fun to watch, and I just hope they finish the season just as hot and get into the playoffs. So, but yeah. I actually just got back from the Jet game too, man, and I was listening on the way home on the train, and you know, it sounds like there was a little hate from Giant fans calling and saying
a couple. You know,
a couple, yeah. We only have 1 year with Rodgers, and we're going to stink again.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, comparing neighbors to Wilson, Eli over Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers, I don't know, man. We have to start drug testing callers because no disrespect to Eli. I think Rodgers is potentially top five all time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think skill-wise, I think he's there. Skill-wise,
I agree.
He doesn't have championships.
I think he is top five. I put him at top five. Like, again, I didn't see them all play, and people are going to have Terry Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowls. Yeah, and Terry Bradshaw played with the Steel Curtain. I can tell you from me why. To me, he's right up there with Brady, Manning, obviously Peyton, not Eli. I mean, those three, and Mahomes, I think I'm ready to put Mahomes in my top. Like, that's as good as I've seen. Aaron Rodgers is an incredible quarterback, man. Like, we're crazy here. Eli Manning is better than Aaron Rodgers. I love Eli Manning. You guys are crazy. Anyone who thinks that's crazy, flat out crazy. I know he's lost some big games. I know he's lost games in his building. I get it. Mm-mm. They're not really comparable. But I don't know why, and this is, again, I always find this conversation fascinating. I do. I don't know why. Maybe most of you don't. Why on earth would a Giant fan or a Jet fan hate the other team? Like, why do Giant fans feel the need? And I have a buddy in particular who just can't stand the Jets, and I don't know why. And I remember when we worked with, I don't know if it was just a day or he was here a couple days, I can't remember, but when when Turtle filled in, I can't remember. I'm drawing a blank here. I know his name. It's going to bother me now. But the actor who played Turtle came in and filled in for Craig with Evan a day. He says that as a Giant fan, whatever, all the teams he roots for, his least favorite team is the Jets. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, as a Knick fan, you hate the, as a Knick and Giant fan, you hate Jerry Ferrara. Thank you. Sorry, Jerry. I know your name. It's 2:55 in the morning. I do this all the time. If you're a Knick, and he's a big Knick fan, that's why I say it. If you're a Knick and Giant fan, how in the world do you hate the Jets more than you hate the Nets or like Philadelphia or like? And if you're a Ranger fan, if you're a Ranger fan and a Giant fan, how in the world do you hate the Jets more than the Islanders or the Devils? Or like, they play at once every 4 years. Once every 4 years, they would have to play in the Super Bowl to play a meaningful game, pretty much. Like, who cares? I know for the Jet fan, there's the Christmas Eve game and the Victor Cruz touchdown, and the Giants go on to win the Super Bowl and the Jets fade into irrelevance for the next 13 years. I know you could possibly draw the line of demarcation on that touchdown, on that play. I get it. So if a Jet fan harbors ill will to the Giants for that play, okay. But, like, they play once every 4 years. They are on the opposite sides of the world and share a building. Like, they share a building, but you couldn't be farther away. Like, who cares? I'm a Giant fan. I hope I watch them, right? We watch football, don't we? Don't we watch football? Are we going to watch the Jet games unless they play at the same time? Don't we watch the games? Don't you want to see good football? Like, why the hell wouldn't I want to see the Jets do well? Like, I don't understand Giant fans who would have any ill will. I still don't even understand the Jet fan, but at least you can make the argument of the Victor Cruz game. As a Giant fan, why anyone would hate the Jets or want anything? God forbid I talk good about the Jets. You got to call me up. You guys are crazy. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the fan. We'll come back. 2 hours left. We'll take you to 5 o'clock. I got Marco's picks. I got Fliegelman's picks. So we'll go around the league a little bit, do some picks. Still talk Jets. Still talk Yankees and Mets. We got you for another 2 hours. McMonagle here on the fan.